This is an Audio Holdings production.
Dark Horse, The Private Life of George Harrison by Jeffrey Giuliano. George Harold Harrison was born at 12:10 a.m. on February 25, 1943. Many years later, the philosophically minded Beatle endeavored to put a finger on the metaphysics involved in this, his latest incarnation. Try and imagine the soul entering the womb of a mother living in 12 Arnold Grove, Wavertree, Liverpool, 15. There were all the barrage balloons and the Germans bombing Liverpool, all that was going on. I sat outside the house a couple of years ago imagining 1943, nipping through the spiritual world, the astral level, and getting back into a body in that house. That really is strange when you consider the whole planet, and all the planets that there may be on the physical level. How do I come into that family, in that house, at that time, and who am I anyway? Mr. Harrison's first impression of his little son wasn't quite so lofty. I vaguely remember tiptoeing up the stairs to see him after he was born, he says. All I could think of was that he looked so remarkably like me, a tiny, squalling, miniature replica of myself. At his mother's insistence, baby George was baptized a Catholic like the other children, although the Harrisons were admittedly not overtly religious. George's mother recalls him as a toddler. George was good as a child. He was no trouble at all and seldom misbehaved. Lots of people think that maybe I say this now because he's famous, but he was good. George was very eager to start school. He was bright, intelligent, and extremely independent. He and his brother Pete were always together, and as a tot, George would often look at photographs of his brother and think it was him. He never played about the streets as a child. He used to like swimming and always found something constructive to do with his spare time. In 1949, the Harrisons moved from Wavertree to a brand new, roomy council house in nearby Speak, which Harry had applied for some 18 years earlier. The property, at 25 Upton Green, was lovely in comparison with Arnold Grove, but Louise didn't really take to the sort of rough-and-tumble people who lived in the area and longed for the close familiarity of their old neighborhood. Harry Harrison remembers his wife taking 8-year-old George to the cinema, and the boy insisting that she give an old tramp half a crown. Money didn't mean anything to him even then, says Harry. If George had his way, every old boy we saw should be entitled to at least a few pence. He was always very compassionate like that. Even today, George hates to see street people hanging about in doorways or sleeping rough on the pavement. Once, in the early 80s, as he was leaving a trendy London restaurant with friends Legs Larry Smith and Rolling Stone Bill Wyman, he offhandedly presented a destitute old man with a crisp 50-pound note. According to Larry, it wasn't the first time he had seen the guitarist give so freely. Although money in those days was usually quite tight, the Harrisons still tried to take a little family trip together at least once a year. Usually they went to nearby towns on the northwest coast, Bidston Hill, Southport, New Brighton, and the standard British holiday resort, Blackpool. In his autobiography, I, Me, Mine, George recalls several childhood visits to Wales, where he marveled at the country's natural beauty. We went all over Wales, staying in little places, nice old stone cottages with slate roofs. Probably cost next to nothing to rent. You could actually live a whole happy life in a place like that. Although George was certainly very intelligent and capable, he was never really fond of school. Bearing in mind George's outstanding creative achievements of later years, one might well assume that, in the eyes of his masters anyway, the seemingly disinterested Harrison was a bit of an anomaly. "Little polite rows of toffee-headed robots," John Lennon once said. That's all any of the teachers were after. To George, seeing through the illusion of so-called adult authority seemed to be all the justification he needed to forever reject its dictates, even at such an early age. Like so many others in the creative sphere, it was George himself who ultimately found the courage to reject the mores and values he saw around him, from those nosy mothers standing at the school gate to the unenlightened, interfering masters he met at school. George Harrison has never borne fools gladly. After leaving Quarry Bank High School for Boys in 1953, George was enrolled at the Liverpool Institute. On his first day, he was jumped from behind by a local roughneck, which did little to bolster his enthusiasm for his new school. At first, Harrison did try and make the best of things by